Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in my Saturday morning co-host, the Jack and Tom Show on 1320. That would be Tom Crawford. Hello, Tom.
How are you doing this evening, Jack? Another beautiful night for high school football. I think this is 9-for-9, if I'm not mistaken.
Unbelievable. I don't think there's been a fall quite like this for high school football. You certainly couldn't ask for more.
No, it's been great, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that that continues on for those teams that are in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season goes, it's been great, and we're capping it off tonight at Lindsay Adams Stadium, senior night for the East Lansing Trojans as they take on another set of Trojans, the Owosso Trojans.
We will talk a little bit about this tomorrow on the Jack and Tom Show, 8 to 11 here on 1320. But as we are entering the final weekend of the regular season, what stands out to you? What are going to be the signature moments?
Are you talking about for my son's team or for the whole?
Well, I'm talking about as you think of high school football 2010.
Well, I mean, we obviously have a personal and emotional thing that happened to our squad with losing a player in Josh Eady to a car accident a couple weeks ago, and that's been really traumatic, and that stands out more than anything. And I think it stands out for a lot of teams beyond East Lansing. It's affected a lot of teams. It's one of them, and certainly that is out there looming at the top of the heap, and it's a very sorrow note. But a lot of great teams, a lot of parity, a lot of teams that I think could make a decent run in postseason play here. A lot of close games. And you know, a lot of offense, you know, and you know, you think about Mason, you think about St. John's, you obviously think about DeWitt. Sexton's had an outstanding year. East Lansing bounced back from a losing season last year. It goes on and on and on. And then obviously Grand Ledge running the slate perfect thus far going into tonight. So a lot of great moments in high school football, and hopefully they have one more in the regular season tonight.
Fowler in a similar situation in the CMAC where they play everyone and never go outside the conference. But as you say, there are a lot of teams here with playoff hopes, and there may be a couple more that reach that level tonight. I would think that Mid-Michigan's going to be very well represented. I don't know if there's going to be a championship team out of here, but certainly within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, there's a couple teams like Hazlitt and Okemos that are 4-4, and if they win, they could possibly sneak in at 5-4. You know how that goes, and then you have a very good Holt Ram team, you know, who's played that tough schedule, and they're 5-3, and they need to win at Pioneer, Ann Arbor Pioneer, one of the biggest high schools, one of the most prestigious high schools in the state. Both these teams are thirsty for a sixth win to guarantee them a spot. So there's a lot of critical moments going on tonight, even before we start postseason play next Friday.
With the schedule that Holt has played, if East Lansing had defeated Grand Ledge and it worked out so there was a three-way tie for the title, it's possible that Holt could have been a league champion with a 5-4 record.
Really, that's not much parity. I mean, those two teams, though, in that CAAC blue, I think were pretty good in Holt and Grand Ledge. What a great game that was last Friday night, going down to the wire, and let alone all the other CAAC divisions with some great races. And so we'll find out what pans out tonight. I mean, these kids that are on the bubble, they can't worry about you know, how many points they have and things like that. They just got to go out and win the game, make sure they end their regular season. And for a lot of seniors, their last game potentially on high school field, and they got to focus on that more than anything else.
Yeah, the last time they take that jersey off is a very emotional moment. We have talked so much about Grand Ledge and Holt, and we've talked a lot about Sexton, Mason, and St. John's as well, but I would be remiss if we didn't give a quick shout-out to the DeWitt Panthers and the Lansing Catholic Cougars for a couple of incredible seasons, and they're not done either.
Yeah, and the thing about Lansing Catholic, not to get ahead of ourselves, I mean, they have a lot of, you know, they've had an outstanding year, and they got a lot of great kids, little talented kids in the so-called skill positions coming back next year. So Jim Ahern's really got a great program going on there, and I'm really happy for them. They had a couple of down years, but the Cougars are indeed back.
Well, and of course, it's a big weekend for college football, not for the Michigan Wolverines. They have a week off. Lick their wounds after a couple of losses at home. But certainly in the Big Ten, we have another game with championship implications. Iowa hosting Wisconsin, and Wisconsin doing away with Ohio State, whipping them last week. And then, of course, Michigan State on the road, very dangerous game at Northwestern. And if the Spartans can win that, they would be 8-0 heading into Iowa City, and who knows what would happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a big game for Michigan State. I mean, they've had two tremendous outputs. I mean, they came back in that second half, a little flat in the first half of the Illinois game, but I expect Michigan State to take care of Northwestern. Now, they'll have a lot of fan support down there. And then the big one, obviously, next week with Iowa, although Iowa's got a big physical test tomorrow with Wisconsin. And I wasn't, you know, impressed with Iowa's defense as much as the paper, you know, the clippings always say, because Michigan racked up 522 total yards on them. Yet this is a this is an offense. It's with Wisconsin is kind of a better match for their defense. Grind it out versus grind, you know, stopping teams from grinding it out. So that'll be a interesting matchup tomorrow in Iowa City.
Well, one thing about Iowa, despite the fact it still ranks among the very top teams in points allowed and yards allowed, despite last week, it'll give up some yards if it can get the takeaways. And really lives on that and did that last week. But also, I think when you look at an Iowa team, they were prepared for Denard Robinson, and he had some success against them. But I thought when Tate Forcier came in the game, it changed everything.
Well, yeah, there was that. I mean, Tate had did a nice job. Obviously, he had a couple critical turnovers though too. I mean, Michigan had four turnovers. I mean, they're down zero takeaways to seven for the opposition the last two games, and you can't do that against quality teams like Michigan State and Iowa. And then on the flip side of that, look at Michigan State's been from getting some turnovers from that secondary that everybody was concerned about. They're making plays, and that's been the key to the Spartan success, and they'll probably take place some more tomorrow in Evanston.
Yeah, and I think going into the Michigan State game, Denard Robinson might have had one turnover for the year. Certainly had done a great job, one or two. And I know that Michigan State, that's got to be a major reason for the turnaround. Last year they had 14 altogether, and a couple of those came on special teams. And here they already have 18 takeaways after seven games, and they got six games to go. So that makes all the difference in the world when you can get your defense off the field and keep your offense on it.
Yeah, and that's the opposite of what Michigan's been doing. Their defense has been on the field too much, and they're not a very good defense. But the takeaway ratio, I mean, Michigan's been horrendous in takeaways. They're on the downside of that in double digits, both 2008, 2009. Now here we go again in 2010, and Michigan State, on the other hand, is getting the takeaways. And they're having a great year, Jack. I hate to admit it. It's kind of worrisome here. If they beat Iowa, they might run the slate, and who knows, they might be in the BCS championship game. Stranger things have happened.
Well, you know, I remember you talking about wanting to see a Michigan State-Oregon matchup, and I watched the Oregon-UCLA
yeah.
game last night, and I left just shaking my head wondering, how in the world did that team ever beat Texas?
Oh, I know. I mean, UCLA's freaky. You know, I mean, they've always been that way. But, you know, when I was watching Oregon, it was like watching a three-man weave in basketball. They get the ball on offense. They just go right down the field. It's amazing. That's a tremendous offensive explosion, some great talent. And, they're going to be hard to beat. They got USC, though, coming up, I think, sooner or later.
Yeah, so, they do. They do. Coming up next week, I believe. What are you going to do on your Saturday off in terms of Michigan football?
You know what? I'm going to embrace it, Jack. I'm really looking forward to not having to get in the car and drive to Ann Arbor. I really am. If just sit back and watch college football, it's going to be kind of a little rainy tomorrow, a good time for a bye week, and sit down in front of the televisions and take in college football beginning at noon with the Cats and the Spartans.
A couple other games of national note. We have LSU and Auburn going at it, the Battle of the Tigers. And then you have Oklahoma at Missouri, a couple of undefeated teams. And I was struck by the fact that Illinois, a team that Michigan has to play yet, has lost three games, Tom, and those teams have a combined record of 19-1. So Illinois, with a great schedule, they've already played Ohio State and Michigan State and don't have to play Iowa or Wisconsin. That team could go 9-3.
Yeah, the credibility meter with me in Illinois is certainly skyrocketed from where I had it. When I was real down on them when they got beat by Missouri again, but this was obviously a pretty good Missouri team, so that one's acceptable. And what they did against Ohio State and obviously picking up that good road win against Penn State was certainly great. And they hung tight with Michigan State in the first half, but, you know, make the turnovers in the second half. And State, as all good teams do, you know, they capitalize on that, and all of a sudden you had a 20-point win for MSU.
Well, I really look forward to our show tomorrow. I'm going to be on the road heading to Evanston for the Michigan State Northwestern game. You'll be here in studio. Dave Benton will be here. Scott will not, but I will be joining you by phone, and we have some great guests. And Bob Winowski is going to be with us, I understand. And looking forward
sure
to that.
I'm not sure about Bob. I'm not sure if that's confirmed or not, but we're going to have some great – Michael Rosenberg is going to be on for the free.
Okay, good.
And also a couple other interesting guests that we're still solidifying tonight. It'll be a great show, and we're looking forward to it, Jack. You know, you going down there to Evanston, that'll be an interesting game, and you'll see a lot of green and white down there, I'm sure, at Ryan Field.
Well, Chris Martin is going to join us, and really looking forward to that. Of course, he's a former Northwestern Wildcat, and he's going to be all over the Big Ten Network talking about these games tomorrow, so we look forward to having him join us as well.
Looking forward to it too, Jack. So you have a good evening, and we'll check in with you this morning when you're en route to Northwestern.
All right. Good luck to the Trojans. We'll be right back with our final segment. Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.